Today, as we come to the table,
when we give our life to Jesus Christ and we let the blood of the Lamb cover us and we're ready to go and we leave Egypt and head out to the promised land where God has called us, the Bible says He gives us gifts, doesn't He? You know, when you give your life to the Lord, the Bible says God gives you gifts, spiritual gifts. You just ask Him, Lord, what gifts? You know, give me the spiritual gifts You want me to have, Lord. And the Bible says, you know, obviously they can come after salvation, or Paul wouldn't have said, earnestly desire the best gifts. So that means there is a desiring for the gifts after salvation. You don't get all the gifts you're going to get every time at salvation. God may have something else, but He wants you to pray and ask Him.
Israelites finally leave Egypt. The final plague has swept the nation, and Pharaoh has relented. They can leave. And as you'll discover in today's message, they were given gifts to take with them. They had nothing, but God would provide all they needed for the next journey. Doesn't that fit with your relationship with God today? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark will draw another parallel between this event and the life a Christian has in following Jesus. You may not have everything you need to fulfill the plans God has for you right now, but He will equip you. Don't be afraid to ask. Request the spiritual gifts that are available because of your faith in Christ and see what God will do with them. Now, open your Bible to Exodus chapter 12 as Pastor Mark continues his message, the 10th plague, death of the firstborn, and principles of redemption.
Look at verse 13. This is straight to the Jews again, but for all of us. Now the blood shall be a what? A sign. Why a sign? You see, the blood itself didn't forgive sin. Not the blood of animals. The Bible says the blood of animals can't forgive sin. It could temporarily cover the sins by an act of obedience, but the only blood that takes sin away is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus on the cross. And so notice He says, it is a sign of what? A sign of the future blood of the Lamb that's to be slain for the entire world. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when you see the blood, I will pass over you. There it is, Passover. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when you strike the land of Egypt. If we have the blood of Jesus on us, then the plague of the Lord is not on us. Just the blessing. Isn't that great? Man, let's not take it for granted, guys. Because it's on the world. It's still on Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. And they still do today. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Again, this is that picture of Jesus dying forever. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats the leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that person shall be cut off, or literally killed, cut off from Israel, publicly executed. So when they would celebrate the Passover lamb dying, no leaven that whole week. Now for them, it was just a week without leaven. But get the picture here. The number 7 in Scripture is the number of completion. And the picture that God was painting was when Jesus Christ dies on that cross, all sin will be completely washed away. There will be no more leaven for those who are in Christ. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? The leaven has been washed away. It's done. It's finished. So the whole picture here of doing this for 7 days, He said, if you don't, you're going to be cut off. Again, the person who doesn't receive Christ will be judged eternally, is the picture here. Verse 16, on the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on the same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. Now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover really kind of ran right together. They really were both on really the same day. You know, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the day right before, really right there at the same time the Passover started, kind of went into it, then the Passover. And it's that whole picture of the Passover lamb taking away all the leaven. And what they would do, they still do it today. They would have them go in before the week of the Passover. They had to get all the leaven out of the house. So the Jews, they'd move everything, you know, move the couch, move this, move that, whatever. And they'd get all the leaven out, getting ready for it, because you had to have all the leaven gone. Now, they don't understand really why. They didn't understand what Jesus was going to do on the cross as far as removing all the leaven. But look at that picture. And that is, if you're coming to Christ, you got to turn from your sin. You can't take your sin with you. And then the Lord takes care of it and washes it away. So they had to remove it. It's an everlasting ordinance. Observe the day throughout all your generations. He said, this will be for the same day I brought your armies out of the land, verse 18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he's a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. So God gives him the instruction, and then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop. There it is. That whole picture at the cross now. Dip it in blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the doorpost with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. That is, you stay under the covering of the Lord and you'll be protected. Under the blood. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. That is, we would say those of the world. Egyptian, a type of the world. And when he sees the blood on the lintel on the doorpost, when the death angel comes and he sees the cross and the blood, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses or to strike you. Isn't it great to think when judgment day comes, God's going to see that cross over the door of your heart? That one's mine. No judgment there. That one's mine. I love it. You shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. And it will come to pass when you come into the land that the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? Now, I love it. God built into the Passover, he built in the questioning children. Why? Because when the children would ask the questions, they would learn the answers, and we as adults would be reminded. So every time you celebrate the Passover, the kids would say, why are you doing this? Because we have to have the blood of the Lamb to sacrifice for our sins so that the death angel will pass over us. And all these things they would have the kids say. So the kids are learning it, right? They're being taught as children up, and the adults are being reminded of it. We need to be reminded. So the children would ask, what is this service? That you shall say, here's what you tell them. It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Again, what a beautiful picture of the dads and the families teaching their kids the word of God. I love it. Then the children of Israel went away, and they did so just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So notice, even the livestock firstborn died. Why? Because when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't just for mankind to be redeemed. He redeemed the earth to himself. The Bible says creation groans to be restored. Even creation is going to be restored from the fall. Isn't that great? And that was all accomplished by Christ on the cross. So even the livestock, firstborn, they have to be killed as well. So Pharaoh rose in the night. Now again, this is the one that finally gets him. Before we go to verse 30, remember all these plagues. Boom, 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 boom. Pharaoh's like, get out of here. I'm not going to do it. Get out of here. Shut up. Whatever, this kind of thing. Now, God brought in the pain enough in Pharaoh's heart to say, you know what? This is it. I can't do this anymore. There are some that believe this particular Pharaoh only had one child. If they have the proper Pharaoh, historically, all he had was one child, which means his only child, the only one he had, his only son. It wasn't just his firstborn, it was his only son and no predecessor to the throne. And this is why some believe that Moses would have been the next Pharaoh had he stayed in Egypt, so to speak, because he was the adopted son of Pharaoh, of earlier Pharaoh, if you will. Again, he now comes back and deals with this, and now Pharaoh's son dies. Verse 30, so Pharaoh rose in the night, he and his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. That is, for those who had not put the blood of the Lamb there. And then he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and he said, rise and go out among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said. In other words, get out of here. I'm going to drive you out now. You know, this is enough. You got to go. So, and the Lord told Moses, he said, hey, when I bring this 10th plague, he won't just let you go. He's going to drive you out. Now that's what he's doing. Also, take your flocks, take your herds, as you said, and be gone. And bless me also. Just get out of here, you know, kind of before we all die. All right, just go. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. And again, the dough before it was kneaded, it was unleavened bread. They had it ready to go. It was bound up. They were all dressed and ready to go. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses. And they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and articles of clothing. Now, why did they do this? Well, let's go on. Notice this. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they granted them what they requested. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. Now, you might say, that doesn't sound fair. They just went and asked them for gold and silver and clothes, and they gave them everything out of their homes. Hey, listen, this was for over 400 years of service in the land of Egypt. Remember, they had been slaves in Egypt, not the entire 430 years, but most of it. They had earned a lot of wages they were never paid for. You know what I mean? And now God says, you know what? You guys earned it. The Egyptians owe it to you. You go and ask it from them because you're going to need that out in the wilderness, not because you're going to be buying things with gold and silver, but you're going to be building the temple. You're going to be building the articles of the temple. You're going to need the supplies to build the tabernacle. So go and get all this stuff. And they gave it to them. Plus, they would need clothing as well. They were slaves. They didn't have anything. And you know, it's interesting because when we give our life to Jesus Christ and we let the blood of the Lamb cover us, and we're ready to go, and we leave Egypt and head out to the promised land where God has called us. The Bible says he gives us gifts, doesn't he? You know, when you give your life to the Lord, the Bible says God gives you gifts, spiritual gifts. You just ask him, Lord, what gifts? You know, give me the spiritual gifts you want me to have, Lord. And the Bible says, you know, obviously they can come after salvation, or Paul wouldn't have said, earnestly desire the best gifts. So that means there's a desiring for the gifts after salvation. You don't get all the gifts you're going to get every time at salvation. God may have something else, but he wants you to pray and ask him. And Paul has a whole section talking about that, talking to believers. He says, you know what? It's okay. Ask God for these gifts. Seek God for those gifts. And if there's a gift you want that you don't have, ask God for it. Ask him to give it to you. You know, the gift that I pray for all the time, I pray for really above all love. You know, he says that the greatest of these is love. Love's the greatest gift. I really believe if we can receive from God the love that the Lord has, all the other things really don't matter. I mean, not that they're not important, but it's the love of the Lord. That's what matters. But the gifts here, he gives them gifts, this whole picture of us giving our life to Christ, receiving gifts from the Lord now, and then heading to the promised land. And then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children. Now, they didn't count the women either. They would count just the men. So 600,000 men. You count the wives in there, you're well over a million. You count the kids in there, you're up to 2 million. Some believe it was probably somewhere between 2 and 3 million people. Probably over 2 million just Jews. But now notice this. It says in verse 38, a mixed multitude went up also. So in addition to the Jews, some of the Egyptians feared God enough by watching everything God was doing through Moses that they put the blood on their homes. And because they did that, the death angel passed over them. They were spared. And they said, we want to go with you guys. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. Now, I'm going to give you a warning about the mixed multitude. We're going to see these guys again. And the church has the mixed multitude today. We still have the mixed multitude. Mark, what do you mean, the mixed multitude? The mixed multitude are those people who really don't want to love the Lord or follow him closely. They just want the blessings that come with being a Christian. They like all the potlucks, cute girls that, you know, are going to be generally nice, somebody helping them move when they need to move, you know, the benefits that can come from being around God's people. And yet when it comes to loving the Lord, they've got a heart after the world. And the mixed multitude, they're typically the ones that are kind of not really involved. They're on the outskirts of the body. They're never really involved in any events. They're never really drawing in close to the things that God is doing. And so what happens is whenever there's an issue in the church where there's a problem or tension, guess where it usually comes from? The mixed multitude. It is extremely rare to have somebody who's really close to the Lord ever cause a problem, quite honestly. But over the years of ministry, I've been involved now over 20 years in the Lord and almost 20 years in ministry. I've noticed over those 20 years that most of the major problems, if not almost all, not all, I can't say all, but most, the mixed multitude. People that aren't really that involved. They're not And we're going to see these guys here. They're going to come back later, and the mixed multitude is going to like draw the others away and pull them away. And the mixed multitude, they grumble and they complain. And we're going to see the mixed multitude grumbling and complaining. And then they get the children of Israel grumbling and complaining. And then God brings judgment on them. And a lot of lessons to be learned about the mixed multitude. But they go up with them. Well, what are you going to do? You know, you hope that they get serious about the Lord. They've got to, you know, you don't want to turn any away. Verse 39, and they baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor they prepared provisions for themselves. And the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. Wow. A whole nation had been born during that time. It came to pass at the end of the 430 years on that very same day. Look how exact God is in his timing. God had an exact day they were to come out. On the very same day after 430 years that they went in, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for the children of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it. But note this, guys. No foreigners to eat the Passover. A couple things I want to note here. Number one, the whole picture God is giving is, unless you are a part of the family, the Passover is not yours to partake of. Do you follow me? Unless you are a believer in Christ, you have no part in Christ. Unless you believe in Jesus and have given him your life, you can go to church all you want, but you're not going to be taken in the rapture. You're not going to be in the kingdom of God in heaven. Going to church doesn't do it. It's that whole relationship. If you're a foreigner to him, if you've never made that commitment, then you're not to take of the Passover, because the Lord was giving a picture. You've got to make sure you're in Christ. It's not my parents went to church. It's not that I go to church occasionally. You've got to come to know Jesus Christ. But this is also the reason we don't do communion on Sunday morning. This verse right here. A lot of people, why don't y'all do communion? How can we do communion on Wednesday night or Sunday night or whatever? Because God said no foreigner is supposed to partake of the Lord's Supper. It's a family meal. Is everybody with me? What does Sunday morning have to do with it? Because statistically, all right? Statistically, there are many more unbelievers on a Sunday morning than on Wednesday night or Sunday night. So rather than having communion on Sunday morning, when there are many more believers and a foreigner might be partaking of the Passover lamb, we don't do it then. We keep it as a family meal. And that's our reasoning behind it, because of this chapter and this verse and the command of the Lord. Verse 44, but every man's servant who is brought for money. Now here's the ones that can. Notice this. Every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, he may eat it. In other words, once you do what is necessary to have a relationship with the Lord, now you can partake. Now circumcision itself didn't save anybody, but it was that whole picture of what? Cutting away the flesh. Cutting away the flesh and becoming a part of the family, living for God. He says, a sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. That is, again, has to be family. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. Now, interesting, not one bone is to be broken. Remember, John wrote, when Jesus was on the cross, there was not one bone broken. And it was important for John to point that out. Why? Because, again, he had to fulfill everything the Passover lamb fulfilled in that picture, in that type. Now, why is that interesting to me, guys? Where is blood produced? In the bone. A broken bone doesn't produce blood till it heals. So the whole picture is never in the Passover lamb will there be a time that the blood is not flowing. Never will there be a moment where the blood supply will be interrupted. There will always be the blood of the lamb to wash away any sin that you have. It is an unbroken chain, and it will never be broken. Not in the Passover lamb, nor in the true lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Because that is where the blood is produced, is in the bone. All of the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover of the Lord, so if somebody comes in and says, hey, I want to become a follower of your God. I want to be a part of the Passover. All right, they can do that. You can receive Christ. You can come into the family of God, and here's how you do it. Let all the males be circumcised. And aren't you glad we still don't do that today? How do we join this church? Never mind. We're not okay. Anyway, let all the males be circumcised, and let him come near and keep the Passover. And he shall be as a native to the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat it. Again, not the picture of the literal cutting away of the flesh, but no person who hasn't cut away the flesh of their heart and given their life to Christ, they can't partake in Jesus. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to turn away from the world. That doesn't mean we're perfect, right? It just means we choose to turn away and follow Christ. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you. So it doesn't matter. Native born or stranger. One law. I love this. One law. That is, you know, everybody has to come to Jesus the same way. There's no shortcut. Thus, all the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. And it came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. Again, I love it. These were slaves, but he calls them the army of God. You guys, as we finish this and think about it, if you've never been involved in a Passover meal, I think at least to do that one time to watch all the symbolism is really neat. Even if you get with the Jews, get with the unbelieving Jews and have a Passover meal. If they ever invite you or you have that chance, because to observe how they are fulfilling Jesus Christ, it blows you away. You just look at them like, how can you not get this? I mean, like, what is not connecting here? But remember, their eyes have been blinded. But they do something really neat when it comes to the unleavened bread. They call it the afikoman. And get this, guys, here's what they do. And they don't know why they do this. This is the part that gets me. They don't know why they do it. They take three pieces of unleavened bread and wrap them individually in a cloth. Then they take those three and they wrap them all together as one. And it sits there till a certain time in the meal. And then when it comes time to represent all the leaven being taken out, they take the middle piece, not the top, not the bottom, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They take the middle piece out and they break it. He said, this is my body, what? Broken for you. Then they go and they hide it. They hide it. And at the end of the meal, they let the kids go and look for it. It's like a game the kids play. See if you can find the middle piece of bread that's been broken for you. Go see if you can find it. Go look for it. See if you can find it. And God has built into the Passover these children of Israel, quite literally, looking for the missing part. What is it that's missing in our Passover? What is it that's missing in our faith? What is it that's keeping us from being fulfilled? Why are we so persecuted? What is it that's been broken that we can't find? What is it? And at the end of the meal, they finally find it. And they bring it back. We found it. Here's what's cool. The Bible says in the last days, God will pour his Spirit out once again on the nation of Israel. And they will find Jesus Christ, the missing part of that unleavened bread. They're going to find him. And the Bible says they're going to weep as if for their firstborn, their only son, when they realize that Jesus this whole time has been their Messiah. And now here they have finally found the one broken for them and hidden by the Father of the meal until the kids found it at the very end. And remember, this is all chance. Is God amazing or what? Chapter 12. Meditate on it. Feed on it. Go back and read it again. Look for Jesus in it. Because there's a lot more there than what I was able to cover or even find. What an amazing chapter. Aren't you glad we have the Lamb of God and his blood covers our hearts so the death angel passes over? Praise the Lord. Let's thank him.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Maybe you've heard these things mentioned in the book of Exodus before, or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. Exodus is one of those books where it's undeniable, observing God's power and might in what he does through his people and for his people. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Exodus next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series, plus much more, at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. Before we close, we want you to know that if you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark in the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community. And through this radio outreach, there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Exodus, so be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.